Good morning. Morning, church. How is everyone today? It's good to be here. Good to be with you. I am Paul Woodward, and I am one of the ministers and elders at the Impact Church. Seems like I've been there a billion years. It's a little closer to 33 years, but it's a blessing to be here today. I know that some in here know a great deal about the Impact Church. Some know very little. But Impact is a place that's focused on our underserved community, people who are desperate, hurting, wounded, that are seeking help. And so this is the mission of Impact, and this is what we do. We strive to do the best we can. Of course, it's a deeply flawed place. I'm a deeply flawed man, as you'll become more aware as I keep talking. But we try hard. We want to do the best that we can to serve people and to honor God through doing that. Wanted to say a couple things before we get rolling. One is that I just want to thank this church for the financial support that I receive from this church. You might not be aware that I'm one of the people that's supported by this congregation. And also, it seems like a billion years, but it's closer to about 25 years. But for 25 years, this church has helped me to be one of the ministers at Impact. And so I'm deeply grateful. I can remember, everything seems like a long time ago. And you get as you get older, you can't keep up with things as much. But 3 or 4 years ago, I hit a spot where I needed a little help. And it became aware to the elders, and I just remember so clearly how gracious and charitable and welcoming they were, and were able to come and help in a special way. And so I've always remembered that. I'll never forget it. It's really important. My wife, Susan, she's not with me today. We just passed over 40 years of marriage. I think she's going to sign up for 40 more. I'm pretty sure she is, but we have a couple of health crises in our family, and so she's tending to one of them. I feel nostalgic when I come in here. The very first wedding I ever did was right here. I did a wedding, and the first one ever in my life was right here, scared to death, and I'm still scared, but it was right here. I grew up in Sunset Terrace right here on Purdue, just like a couple blocks right there. So I can do the story of before all those buildings were there, we played football right across the street in the field. And I'll save you the old man slideshow, but there's a lot of nostalgia for me being around here. I went to West Udo Elementary. My friends were all up and down these streets all around here. So you think this is your turf, it's really my turf. This is where I grew up. And I feel real nostalgic being here. Also, another one is that it's an honor to fill in for Joseph. I think Joseph is uniquely gifted, very talented. God has given him special gifts that allow him to love people in a special way and share God's word. And so I love him deeply. You probably know that he was at Impact before here. And I was thinking, I guess it's almost a year. He came in January, right? Yeah, so it's been almost a year, I think. So you certainly can see what a blessing Joseph is. And, of course, the four boys. Carla is awesome. I mean, beautiful on the inside out, courageous. She's smart. So she's a powerhouse. And I know they're a blessing to this family here. So let's pray, and then we'll get rolling. Let's pray. Dear Father, please be with us just now. We're grateful for this time together and the ability to just come in comfort and worship and to be together. Father, it is our prayer that everything done in here and said by me would bring honor and glory to you, and that you'd be well pleased with, and that only you would be well pleased with and be honored. Thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I have felt very welcome here today. Had a good class this morning with Cameron and the thing talking about thankfulness from Colossians. Thanks Stanley for the song service and David for the scripture reading. And so I've been made to feel really welcome. And so let's just begin. And the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Joseph was sold into slavery, and the Bible says that the Lord was with him. He was wrongly imprisoned, and the Bible says that the Lord was with him. It's really an extraordinary phrase, the Lord was with him. And if we're not careful, we can just kind of skip over what that means. It's sort of a statement that that we might miss some of the impact of it. And it recurs in Scripture often, right? We can think of examples where God is with Jacob. God was with Moses. God was with Abraham and Sarah. God was with Ruth. God was with David, etc., and others as well. And so this is a fundamental promise. And the main reason that God's people can be free of fear and face life with hope is because of statements like this from Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So for the people of God, God's presence became their greatest hope, and God's absence their greatest fear. Psalm 51 includes this: do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Moses, struggling in the wilderness, said, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us out of here. In other words, Moses would rather live in the desert with God than in the land flowing with milk and honey without God. So I want to explore, what does that really mean, that for you and I to be with God? So I want you to imagine with me, to work with me here. Imagine just for a moment that tomorrow morning you wake up and open your eyes and Jesus is sitting on the edge of your bed and you're surprised. And it's not your spouse, it's not your dog, it's not your children, but Jesus himself is sitting right on the bed and he says, I've been here watching you sleep all night, thinking about how much I love you, and I'd like to spend the day with you, and I'd like to help you and guide you and give you strength and give you wisdom. Mostly, I just want to be with you because you mean so much to me. Would that be okay? And you're super excited. You can't believe it. This is like the best offer you've ever had. You say, I'd love to spend time with you. So you start your day, you and Jesus together. Nobody else can see him. It's kind of like a secret thing between you and him. You find that it makes all the difference in the world doing your day with Jesus because you're doing your day with him. You find that it changes everything. And it sort of becomes a partnership. Your relationships are all different because Jesus is there in every encounter. Always between you and the other person, there is Jesus. And you notice the way that Jesus looks at people. And a funny thing starts happening. You begin to look at the person the same way that Jesus does. You find yourself seeing in that person what Jesus sees in that person. You find yourself starting to respond to that person the way that Jesus does. Not because you have to, but because you want to. While you're eating breakfast, you're talking with Jesus. While you're driving, you're talking with Jesus. Maybe you're driving a little slower. Maybe you're using your turn signal, but you're driving with Jesus. You find that it makes a difference in how you handle your money and how you handle your leisure time. And you find your level of gratitude and confidence and wonder and joy going up. And you don't feel lonely. You find you like who you're becoming in his presence. But the truth is, there are moments when you really don't want him to be around. There are moments when you want to do something or say something that you'd rather not have him see. But interestingly, you can talk to him even about this. He understands, and he says, we can work on this, you and me. and you end your day the way you started it, by talking to Jesus. You talk to him about what went well, and you talk to him about what didn't go well, and you learn. And you say, could we do this again tomorrow? So imagine that tomorrow morning, when you open your eyes, Jesus would be right there beside you. Because guess what? He will be. Jesus promised that it would be so. He said, behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So here we come to a choice point. This is a decision. It's a choice that you and I have to make. We have to decide, is it possible? Is it even possible to do what Noah and Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Abraham and Sarah and David and so many others have done? Is it possible for us to walk with God? And could the day come? Could the day come when these words could be written on your tombstone and they would be the words that best represent your life more than any other words? Could it be said that he walked with God? That she walked with God? Will those be the words that best describe your life? For me, walking with God is sort of like manna. I need to learn to receive it one day at a time. And I believe I must learn, and maybe you too, to learn together to sort of, I look at it like rolling up our sleeves and getting real practical about this. How to spend ordinary time in an ordinary day with Jesus. How do you do that? And I have some thoughts about that. I believe that it starts the night before. Don't go to bed, don't go to sleep with unresolved household anger or conflict. The Apostle Paul says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. I believe that's great wisdom. Whatever you habitually go to sleep in, that becomes normal for you. Susan and I, the way we made this practical application, we at one point decided that after 10 o'clock at night, we wouldn't talk about anything controversial. And because we knew if we got in a spat about something or had a disagreement, that then that's how we would go to sleep. Now we've moved it to 8 o'clock. I'm thinking we need to move it to 5. But we just decided that that didn't work for us. If you go to sleep with unresolved conflict and anger, you're teaching yourself that's normal. If you go to sleep with fear and anxiety, you're teaching yourself that that's normal. But if you go to sleep with trust and peace, then you're learning that's normal. That's the manner in which we were meant to live, in trust and peace. Because the way that we go to sleep sets the tone for the next day. So before you go to sleep tonight, take a few moments. Review your day with Jesus. If sin comes to mind, confess it and ask forgiveness. If blessing comes to mind, you thank God. If concerns come to mind, give them to Jesus. He's going to be up all night anyway. Learning to spend ordinary time with Jesus, I believe, is the most important spiritual skill we can have. Then you wake up. How do you wake up? Susan found this cartoon one day and gave it to me. It said, sometimes I wake up grumpy, sometimes I let him sleep in. Well, how do you wake up? I believe that it's an idea to take a few moments with Jesus first thing. Maybe acknowledge your dependence on him. Maybe talk about concerns for the day. Maybe you walk through your schedule, school, job, kids, whatever, and you sort of review that with Jesus when you first wake up. Psalm 5 includes this: in the morning I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. So do that. Give Jesus your requests in the morning. Wake up with him. Lay your requests before him. Then comes washing. Washing is something that you can do with Jesus. Cleansing or purification was a real important part of the daily life in Scripture, and it wasn't taken for granted. The whole act of baptism developed from allowing the physical act of being washed by water remind us that we've been cleansed and purified by Christ. Psalm 51 includes this: cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me, wash my sin whiter than snow. Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says that Jesus' intent, his plan, his desire is that that his church, his bride, the church, that would be radiantly cleansed by the washing of water through the word so that she'll be without blemish or stain. So when you're washing or showering or whatever, just pause and say, Jesus, just like this soap and water is cleansing my body, may your word, may your spirit cleanse my mind and my heart of any impurities, all the wrong intentions that I know get me off track, all the destructive desires that I know hurt me. Cleanse me of those thoughts that would lead me away from love and courage and joy. Learning to spend ordinary time with Jesus involves the things that we're already doing. Then there's eating. There's a very good chance that you'll be eating. Food is a gift from God. We're told to pray for our daily bread. Every time we eat, it's not by accident. It's not because of agriculture or because of HEB. But God has provided for us. Ecclesiastes 9 includes this command to eat our bread with joy. Do you do that? Do I do that? Sometimes, sadly, I don't. I just eat it. But God intends that our mealtime should be a time of celebration, a time to eat our bread with joy, to be reminded of God's goodness. And of course, we have a great opportunity this week to do that very thing. We're going to be with family. If you are going to be with family, we're going to be with people and eating, and we have a chance to do that. So make your mealtime exercise in gratitude. Also, you can do what Jesus did, which was deliberately have some meals with people who are not close with God. It's a wonderful way to share your faith. Jesus ate with all kinds of people. And one more thing about this eating thing. Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So just as your body is fed by food, your spirit is fed by words. Your spirit is formed and fed by the words that you absorb. This is very important. I would encourage you every day, we need to feed our minds from the word of God. One idea that I like is to take something from Scripture, a thought or a phrase like, nothing can separate us from the love of God, for example, and feed on that all day long. Feast on that word. Let your spirit absorb that thought or that verse or that phrase. So we could go on. There's many other things in an ordinary day. Work. How would your work be different if you thought of Jesus sitting in the chair next to you? How would your relationships be different? What choices would you make? What about excellence in your work? Would we have the idea that Jesus would do shoddy carpentry work as a carpenter? No, we would think that his carpentry would be exceptional. And so that is a calling for us to do exceptional work in whatever we do. School is another one. If you're in school, or how would school be different if you thought of Jesus in the desk right next to you? How would you engage the child who has no friend? How would you engage the new child? How would you interact with a discouraged teacher? What if you were doing your day with Jesus at school? And one last one, just quickly, how do we spend our leisure time? Recreation is really important. Recreation is recreation. How do you spend your recreation time with Jesus? Nobody ever binge watched 8 hours of TV and jumped up and were rejuvenated and refreshed. Doesn't happen. So how do you spend your leisure time, your recreation with Jesus? So we'll stop there. But I just want to urge you and encourage you how to do your ordinary things, your ordinary day, your ordinary life with Jesus, because he is there with you. And is it possible? Can we make that choice even? That we could literally do this. You could do everything that you're doing with him. So I want to encourage you to start. Start tonight. Review your day. Start in the morning. Your first thought, let it be Jesus, and think about him. Today, if you have a special need on your heart, if you haven't made the public declaration for Jesus and been baptized, I want to extend this invitation to you. This is a great church family, great leadership. And I know that they want to know if you have a special need or if you have a desire to learn more about Jesus, please come as we stand and sing.